What up, though? It's your boy CB. That's Chill B, and this is the Chill Bravado Podcast, where I bring you a series called Lakers 82-16, and that's where we cover the grind of an 82-game long season where it takes 16 wins to get the chip in the end. Yes, yes, we are here. We are facing just a roller coaster of a moment in the season. We're fighting for our play-in lives, or maybe even playoff lives. And all playoff games matter here on this illustrious podcast. And we're going to talk about, you know, the stretch we've had here recently. We're going to talk about the two-game winning streak that we're on and how often we've had a three-game winning streak. Let's see if we can make that happen again. So I'm going to break down what has passed. I'm going to talk about the Kings loss and how that was, like, disgusting and deflating. I'll talk about the Bucks win that was exciting and joyful. Then I'll talk about AD and the Timberwolves' shorthandedness. But yeah, he still did what he said he was going to do and stand on business. All right, what up, though? It's your boy CB. I am just excited and thrilled to be talking Lakers basketball because we have a plethora of things to talk about. Some good news, some developing news, some, you know, people are coming back soon type news. I'll get into all that much later, but let's start off just talking about how we've been able to, you know, manage these last couple games. You know, over this span, I looked at the Thunder game, the Kings, the Bucks, the T-Wolves, the Kings, and the Warriors games. That's six games, I do believe. And I was saying that I would be, like, ultra excited if they went 4-2 in that range. And I was kind of saying that, you know, even if we didn't go 4-2, I was like, gotta beat the Kings. Well, we didn't beat the Kings. So we started off against the Thunder. We were able to beat them pretty handily. That was nothing. You know, we a bad matchup for them because they have very good guards, but their guards are more shifty than quick. And I believe that Austin Reeves and D'Lo and Spencer and Max Christie and these guys, they're able to game plan a little better against that, because even though SGA, and we don't even have Vando against him right now, SGA, he's a very difficult cover. But when his shot's not falling, they was coming off a back-to-back, which I seen someone also say that they have a very high winning percentage off a back-to-back because they're so young. It really doesn't matter. But in this game, you can tell that they just didn't look like they was on it. They didn't have it. And Williams and just these guys were just not able to really generate offense. You could tell that D'Lo putting the ball in the hole was affecting, you know, that game, because that's when he hit the three triples in a row. J-Dub was kind of, you know, the victim of all three of those. So RIP, especially when LeBron got it and threw it back to him. Like, cuz, like, what are you doing? Heat check time. And I got people telling me, oh, he's just hot right now. Well, they're not watching the games. And if you're watching the games or even not watching the highlights, you'll see that D'Lo's been doing this. You know, trade deadline D'Lo has been a thing for a while now. And now he's still continuing into it. And now he's even having little funny quotes. I'm laughing at some of the things he's saying because it's just giving ammunition for if he doesn't play well in the playoffs or the playing or whatever. So people like that, they're not going to say anything now. They're going to wait till after the bad, you know, if the bad happens or when the bad happens, then they'll bring it up and say, I told you, and he's, you know, overrated. And that's just kind of how sports fans use the narratives to kind of talk about players. But if you're in the moment watching this and you're seeing, like, the success that he's having individually, which is helping the team success, it was fun to watch. But then we go to the Kings game, and then that's when we get into the problem. Okay, that's when we get into the problem. The Sac Kings really showed and exposed that something I've always said. I've always feared going against Fox. Monk and Fox together are a nightmare because speed kills. Speed kills, speed kills. And the game plan against them obviously was not very successful defensively, because they just kept doing the same thing over and over and over. And the Kings are not a great team this year. They're not. But they still have those two matchups that were pretty much just doing whatever they wanted. Like, it was amazing watching the game because I was so frustrated at Anthony Davis on the offensive end. But people are going to kind of look at the defensive end. I'm not as mad at AD as far as the defensive end, because if you look at it, like, you have to pick your poison. Our perimeter defense was letting Monk and Fox come off these dribble handoffs and all these different actions, getting the ball going to their strong hand, getting in the paint, doing whatever they want, doing whatever they wanted. And it was kind of frustrating because we started off this game, you know, we was up 37. The end of the first quarter was 37-28. We were up 19 in the first quarter, and they went on a 10-0 run at the end of the first, and then they blitzed the Lakers with 44 points in the second quarter. And that was really the game, because after they did that, it was pretty much the Lakers were just kind of chasing uphill from there. Because the rest of the second half, like, we won the second half, but the damage was done at the end of the first after AD got the foul trouble. And then it was the second quarter when it was just like they just kept doing the same thing over and over. And then AD kind of spoke to the defensive strategy of, like, you know, he has to stay connected to Sabonis, because if he steps up, that's just a drop off to Sabonis. And Sabonis, for some reason, is like, I don't know what it is about these Euro guys, like these European players, man. Like, AD struggles against these guys. And I feel like Sabonis is stronger than we think. To me, he's not a better player than AD. He has the advantage of having these guys around him, and he's a bully, you know, bully ball guy. He's able to bang and bump it with AD, and you know, all these guys are doing who are not as athletic as him. They're just getting, you know, look, let me get to his legs, let me get to his, you know, let me get to his body, let me get him off balance or keep him grounded so he's not able to extend and do athletic things on me. And Sabonis is doing a good job of that. But it frustrates me when I see people putting out Sabonis is 9-0 against AD, or, you know, AD hasn't beaten him in 9 games. All this stuff. It's funny because it's always individual matchups when it's AD and LeBron, like, oh, Curry and LeBron. But when it's when it's someone else, we never do that. Like, I get Curry and LeBron. These are huge basketball, you know, royalty right here. But when you start putting dudes like AD versus Sabonis, I mean, come on. Like, I get Joker. Like, I get it. But Sabonis, like, if in a playoff series, I do not fear the Sacramento Kings. I do not like the matchup of their speed, but I would just have to say maybe, just maybe, we would have a better game plan, because that game plan sucked, all right? And it showed. But yeah, our lack of perimeter athleticism was really put on display against the Sacramento Kings, so I wasn't surprised. You know, it was kind of just that type of game, and I just looked at it, and I was just looking like, man, Monk, and, you know, Monk has 26 off the bench, like 8 assists. Sabonis had 16, but he had 20 boards. He had 12 assists because, you know, he's just handing the ball off to these guys running in. And all Fox did was just drop 44. You know, he just dropped 44. That's all. Just easy, easy, easy peasy type of guy. The rest of the team did nothing. And then, oh, yeah, and then Mitchell. D. Mitchell off the bench, that was another piece. This guy hit 4-for-4 from the three-point line. That's all he did. Every three-pointer. I know we got to hedge and play off someone, but one of the things that drives me nuts in the Darvin Ham style of defense is when he plays that drop coverage and he helps off a pass away. And I hate that when he does the thing where he has AD, but he doesn't let AD play the guy. He has the AD having help for some reason, and they just drive and kick to the corner. And you see Austin Reeves or LeBron or somebody running out there with a late contest, and it's a three-pointer open pretty much, and it drives me insane. But you know, after that game, I was very much frustrated at the very moment of the game. Very upset with Anthony Davis on the offensive end. Why can't you win these matchups? Why can't you do better? But then I look at it defensively, and he has to do so much on this team that I just didn't really recognize it at first because of the steam coming out of my ears and just watching Fox, you know, smirk and smile and knowing that he should not fear us at all, you know? So when I say I don't fear them in the playoffs, I think Sacramento should feel the same way. Like, if we can get this team, you know, the team is freaking, and D'Lo is not able to get going, and we got Sabonis down there who, you know, bulldozing AD. It's like, they say we got a shot. Like, they almost took out Golden State last year. You know, until Golden State took the ball in their hand, you know, breaks the bails. But that's neither here nor there, because I was waiting. After that, I want to see how we bounce back. And then we get to the 2-game winning streak, and we'll talk about that right now. All right, let's wrap this thing up. Let's get right down to it. We're going to talk about this T-Wolves game. We're going to talk about the games we got coming up. And, you know, and then I'm going to talk about Darvin Ham and some of the players that are about to come back. Because we got the Kings coming up on Wednesday. So I wanted to get a little bit about that, but not much. I'm not going to die on that hill today because I got to see that game again. We got to run that back. So all I'm going to say about the Kings game is we got to get our link back. Okay, because they play tonight. This is, as right now, it's Tuesday, okay? They play tonight on a Tuesday. And now, if they lose tonight, okay, and they play us on a back-to-back, we have to get business, you know, we have to get the job done, handle our business, because that's going to close in the gap right now. I'm not even going to get in the standings talk right now because I'm just letting you know how close we are. We are, we're a game and a half back for them. Let me go pull it up and make sure. I guess I am going to talk standings. Sorry, guys. I got to talk about it. All right. So the Kings are right now, let's see, they are a game and a half ahead of us. Okay. They sit at the seventh spot right now. So if they win tonight, okay. All right. That's 2.5 games. But if they lose tonight, which I'm going to be tuned in, and then we play them on Wednesday night and we beat them, that flip-flops what we got going on right now. And then the Mavericks are playing against the Warriors, I think, Wednesday. So we'll watch them that kind of either way, because we have went up a full game on the Warriors as of right now, and they beat the Spurs last night with Wimby, but they lost to the Spurs without Wimby. Gets on my nerves. I don't understand the NBA and Pop, but let's go ahead and break down this T-Wolves game, because, yeah, that Ant-Man guy, what a hero ball guy he is. Shoot it. Shoot it. Yeah, man, I knew Ant-Man was going to be hero balling because he's been on a little struggle here lately. But, you know, you have no Cat. Found out Rudy Gobert was not going to play. Not only Rudy wasn't going to play, but Kyle Anderson wasn't going to play. And I'm thinking to myself, all we got to do is just make sure Ant don't go off and make sure Nas Reed doesn't go off. Well, we kind of had one of those things happen, okay, with the T-Wolves. Nas Reed is a monster. I mean, it said he went 5-for-10. I'm telling you, it felt like he made every three-pointer he put up. But in the second half, they cut that water off because he had like 21 at the end of the first half. And see, most of the time when those role player guys have big games like that and we're still in the game or still leading, I'll be thinking to myself, well, that water going to cut off on his own eventually just because he's not a star guy. But man, he was making me nervous in that first half because I'm thinking, man, if he was like when Steph got hot against us when we played against them, I know that water wasn't getting cut off because it was, man, listen. I was just like, man, if we can just stop everybody else, we might have a chance. But that didn't happen, and Curry went on to have a great game, and then the Warriors beat us. But in this game, I'm thinking, okay, Nas Reed can't play the whole game. And he can't make shots the whole game. He had 25 in the game, so that means he had 4 points in the second half. I'll take it. He had 4 blocks, and I'm telling you, he kept catching AD. As AD was coming up, he was kind of getting a hand on the ball. It wasn't like verticality, it was more like timing. So he had 4 blocks, but I was very upset AD wasn't able to dunk those balls in there. Ant-Man had 25 points. He went 10 for 23 shooting, though. Yuck. Yeesh. Ugh. And then he went 2 for 9 at the three-point line. And at the end of the game, of course, he brings up free throws and how the Lakers shot more free throws than us. We shot 29 free throws, made 22 of them. They shot 13 and made 11. But when you shoot as many jumpers as they shot, you know what I'm saying? They shot 46 three-pointers in this game and made 16 of them. The Lakers shot 24 three-pointers in the game and made 10 of them. So if you just look at that alone, like, they took 97 shots. So you know that's a lot of jumpers. So, yeah, with no Rudy, with no Kyle Anderson, with no Cat, these guys were just undersized. But they battled, they fought. You know, in the game, the Lakers showed no passion or no desire to play defense, and it showed. But luckily, we offensively were able to get some things done. Russell didn't have to have the biggest game. He took, 12 shots? He was 13, 3, and 6. You know, that was his stat line. Then you had Rui Hachimura, who didn't play much in the second half, but I give Prince some credit and Ham, because it kind of worked out for us, even though I was wondering where Rui was at. Rui had 15, all right, and he only played 24 minutes. Prince had 24 minutes. He played 24 minutes, had 6 points, but I think he did some good things for us.
And, you know, it just let me not get carried away with that. Anthony Davis, let me get back to him. Let me go. LeBron came back. He had 29, 8, 9, just doing LeBron things. Austin Reeves put on some hibachi on the backup point guard for the T-Wolves. 19 points for him, 6-4, you know, 3-for-6 from the three-point line. Just a solid game all around. Jackson Hayes, 9-5. And look, man, this guy gets to going downhill. He's a monster. But to the man of the hour and to the birthday boy, happy birthday, Anthony Davis. Yes, 27 points, 25 boards, 5 assists, 3 blocks, 7 steals. And against this shorthanded team, people are like, oh, he didn't have Gobert down there. Oh, yeah. So if he put up 15 points and 8 rebounds, you know, you'd be saying the same thing. Well, he did that. They didn't have Gobert down there. So you see how this narrative works? Like, let's just respect it. Like, name me a lot of dudes who've done this. Well, I'm not doing all that, you know, first person ever to do this 25-25. I ain't got time for that. But what I know is when I watch this game, Anthony Davis had 4 T-Wolves around him and was still pulling the board down. Anthony Davis was being relentless on the boards. He had 10 offensive rebounds by himself. But then Ant-Man wants to talk about free throws. Get on the boards, my guy. Okay. But that's neither here nor there. We got that win. Guys, that's enough. All right. And we got the Kings coming up. So let's just see how we handle defensive adjustments with the speed. Okay. We had some days to rest. I like that we play on Wednesday. And then we turn around and play the Warriors again on Saturday. And I'm really excited about that because that gives us more time to rest. That gives Steph time to rest. And maybe he'll be able to play Saturday too. And we'll just hopefully get that LeBron-Steph matchup again. Ah, you thought I was going to hope he's going to be out, didn't you? Yeah, that's what you thought. No, what I really want them to do is put Klay back in the starting lineup so we can cook him. But no, they bring him off the bench now. They did it because they're scared of the Lakers. I know it. But all seriousness, we're getting good news about Vando. And Gabe Vince. Let's slow down here. Let's just get back serious. And I'm scared. Not because these guys are not good players. I mean, Gabe, we need him to come back. I was telling JR, Gabe coming back, people are not going to really be excited about. But we need him to come back because if he's going to be involved in any trades this offseason, he needs to show that knee can hold up. So we need him to come back and look, you know, decent, get his legs under him, and then if we get in the playoffs, let's see if he'll be able to fight himself into a rotational spot and put some of that Miami Heat culture into the building that we heard so much about. It seems like the Miami Heat culture only works in their building because when they leave, unless you're Max Strus, it kind of fizzles out. So let's hope and see if Gabe can, you know, get his career back on track. More importantly for him is get himself back in that confidence of playing the way he played. Because I can't really talk bad about him because he hasn't been here all year. Now, Vando, oh, come on, man. Let's just get you back healthy. I hope you come back in. I know you haven't been able to run and move. But when I seen that the boot was off his foot after a couple games, I was excited without any reports. So I'm hoping that he'll be able to come back, eventually work himself back in again in full throttle. Don't know how this rotation is going to work out because that's what scares me the most is that. Oh, Darvin Pockets Ham Sandwich. He is going to find a way to make all of us question his rotations. Prince is probably going to end up, you know, playing more than Vando in a couple of games after he comes back in. And we're going to be mad about it. But really, guys, let's be patient with Vando. It took him a little while to get back in the groove when he came in for the first injury. Which this season has been kind of, all the role players have been kind of hit with that for the most part at some point. So I just want to say I'm scared to see what Ham does with the lineup, but we'll see. It then got to the point now where it's like they don't even listen to Darvin Ham as much as they used to, and it's hilarious. But I'm just going to stop talking about Ham for a little while until he gives me the reason to. But I just want to end on two things. What a wonderful couple of games for D-Lo here recently. A wonderful stretch of months. Want to give him a lot of shout out. He's been talking and giving his thoughts and his feelings on how he's been handling all this and pretty much putting out quotes where he's been letting people know that he used all the hate as motivation, and people are going to laugh at that and we say, oh, he's just talking big because, you know, he's playing well now. Well, I mean, Ant-Man talks big all the time. and nobody, you know, oh, he's the face of the NBA, you know. So it's like, the guys who are polarizing or who people don't like of and scapegoated, Magic Johnson kind of hurt him when he said, you know, he's not a leader. Then you draft Lonzo Ball right after that and ship him out. And, you know, then he's bounced around the league a lot. So a guy like D'Lo is kind of like, we should relate to guys like that. If you ever been an underdog or been undervalued or been misunderstood or maybe you were immature and showed some maturity as you've gotten older, and him being 28 now, you can just see it, man. It's just fun to watch. So let's just hope that he continues to play like this, because now I want to see him in the playoffs. I want to see him now, because now he's given the opportunity to go into the play-in in the playoffs, and let's say he's put together a great season up to this point, except for like 1 month. So all I'm asking is that we give ourselves as the Lakers an opportunity to go to the playoffs and let him write his story. It might not end great. It might end up with him getting, you know, swept by Denver again, or he might be a first round out. And it's going to be a whole lot of talk about him and his contract. But it's right now in the moment. Let's enjoy it, guys. And I appreciate you guys tuning in. I'm your boy CB. That's Chill B. This is the Chill Bravado Podcast, Lakers 82-16. We'll talk to you next time.